Hello everyone and welcome to a supplementary episode for the History of England, 24A, the Anglo-Saxon View of the Outside World. This brief episode was prompted by a really interesting question from somebody called Thomas H. This was the question, apparently stolen from one asked on the History of Rome, which incidentally I absolutely adore as well. How aware of the rest of the world was Anglo-Saxon England, apart from the Viking invasions? I was wondering, as in Roman England, there must have been a fair few people aware of, or even from, distant places such as Byzantium, North Africa and so on. However, by the time of the start of your series, all the little kingdoms that become England seem to live in a much smaller world, and their knowledge greatly reduced from that of early centuries. Well, I have to say, one of the unexpected pleasures of this podcast has been questions like this, which take me into bits of history I've not really thought about before. So I realised I knew some stuff, but not enough. So I went to a forum I found recently called Historum, a really good site with lots of people even more potty about history than me. I got some really interesting answers from Tully Andy, Melisande, the Alani Dragon Rising, and the refreshingly straightforwardly named Louise C. So I'm going to stop rabbiting on about that now and get to the answer. One obvious bit of the answer is that it depends on who you are, of course. So a churl in Peakling Magno, Leicestershire, would know a lot less than a merchant in a town. But if we think about society as a whole, there's probably a lot more interaction than we think. I think the starting point, though, is that it's extremely likely that the exposure to the outside world in Anglo-Saxon England was a lot less than it had been when England and Britain was part of the Roman Empire. The main thing that struck me when going through the 7th, 8th and 9th century is how little foreign relationships come into the story. And then after 1066, it becomes again a fundamental part of that story. So I think it's true to say that before the 11th century, more than ever, England was a small, damp and really pretty irrelevant island off the coast of Europe. And to some degree, that would also have impacted on the amount of access to information the Anglo-Saxons had. So clearly, I think there is a closing down of the level of interaction after the end of the Roman Empire. But when you look at it, there is still quite a lot of interaction, even in the 8th century. So one point to make is that Christianity makes a big difference. Archbishops, for example, went to Rome for their pallium. The Anglo-Saxons were really religious once they'd converted, so several kings of various kingdoms resign and end their life in Rome. Ina of Wessex in 725 is a prime example. So they know about Rome and are to a degree part of that international community. I think we can safely assume that the earliest of the Anglo-Saxon kingdoms were well aware of the country along Europe's western seaboard, so the likes of Frisia and Flanders and of course the Scandinavian world. And in the 9th century, there's plenty of evidence of this with various royal marriages between the royal family of Wessex and the Counts of Flanders. We can also be sure that France, the Holy Roman Empire and England have a relationship and know each other quite well. So remember that Offa has a barony with Charlemagne, and remember that Edward the Elder's daughter, Edgith, was the wife of the Holy Roman Empire, Otto I, in the 10th century. But how much further afield did that contact go? Well, here I have to reference my Historum helpers. Melisande sent me a fascinating article which clearly showed that Anglo-Saxon England knew about the Islamic world. So Offa, at the end of the 8th century, issued this extraordinary gold coin in the style of an Islamic dinar. It's a copy of an Abbasid dinar from 774, and clearly they knew nothing of what the Arabic inscription said. The coin was intended as a present for the Pope, and the coin they actually sent to him was inscribed in Arabic with "There is no God but Allah alone." So I think we assume they didn't know what they were sending, and hopefully the Pope doesn't read Arabic either. Louise C. sent me a note from a book by Robert Lacey. The point is that one of the key sources of information, apart from the church, were merchants and traders. And they would have had information from Italian trading cities like Pavia. Louise's quote had a lovely reference to Bede. As he lay dying in 735 AD, Bede called for his treasures that he wanted to distribute to his fellow monks. And the first thing out of his treasure chest was pepper, which had been grown in the East Indies, had travelled tens of thousands of miles by mule train and ship to reach Baghdad and then the Mediterranean. So there was some kind of interaction. And finally then, people clearly knew about Byzantium, well at least by the 10th century. The Varangian Guard was at least partly Anglo-Saxon as well as Viking. And when William conquers England, there's a massive outpouring of people of the English nobility to join the Emperor's Guard and escape Norman servitude. But beyond that, I think any information would have been distant rumour upon rumour. India or China would have been in the region marked as "there be dragons" on the Anglo-Saxon world map. The Middle East was basically as far as it went, wherever Bede's pepper actually came from. And by the way, the Alani Dragon Rising sent me a link to a map of the world in an Anglo-Saxon manuscript of the early 11th century. Now, I can't make head or tail of it, but it's on the History of England website if you want to see it. I've also put pictures of that Dina up there to boot. So the conclusion of all this is that I think at times in Anglo-Saxon England, it was a very close world focused on the Scandinavian world, especially in the 6th century and during the 9th century Viking Wars. But it was always more connected than it might appear through church, trade and politics. No doubt much of what people heard about the more distant places were mangled half-truths and wild exaggerations, but there would have been much more interaction than we imagine. And then the advent of a cross-channel realm after 1066 no doubt accelerated the process and brought England back more into the mainstream. So, thanks again for the question, Thomas. Really enjoyed looking into it. And thanks for your help, everyone else. And have a great week.